can be met by the equally great courage of our heart. Such strength of heart comes from knowing that the pain that we each must bear is a part of the greater pain shared by all that lives. It is not just our pain, but the pain. And realizing this awakens our universal compassion. In this way, our suffering opens our hearts. Mother Teresa calls it meeting Christ in his distressing disguise. In the worst of difficulties, she sees the play of the divine, and in serving the dying poor, she discovers the mercy of Jesus. An old Tibetan Lama, who was thrown into a Chinese prison for 18 years, said that he viewed his prison guards and torturers as his greatest teachers. There, he says, he learned the compassion of a Buddha. It is this spirit that allows the Dalai Lama to refer to the communist Chinese who have occupied and destroyed his country as "my friends, the enemy." What freedom this attitude shows! It is the power of the heart to encounter any difficult circumstance and turn it into golden opportunity. This is the fruit of true practice. Such freedom and love is the fulfillment of spiritual life, its true goal. The Buddha said, "Just as the great oceans have but one taste, the taste of salt, so too there is but one taste fundamental to all true teachings of the way, and this is the taste of freedom." This freedom is born out of our capacity to work with any energy or difficulty that arises. When we encounter our daily difficulties, we must ask ourselves, do we see them as a curse, as the unfortunate working of fate? Do we damn them? Do we run away? Do fear or doubt overcome us? How can we start working with the reactions we find in ourselves? Often, we see only two choices for dealing with our problems. One is to suppress them and deny them, to try to fill our lives with only light, beauty, ideal feelings. In the long run, we find that this does not work, for what we suppress with one hand or one part of our body cries out from another. If we suppress thoughts in the mind, we get ulcers, and if we clench problems in our body, our mind later becomes agitated or rigid, filled with unfaced fear. Our second strategy is the opposite, to let all our reactions out, freely venting our feelings about each situation. This too becomes a problem, for if we act out every feeling that arises, all our dislikes, opinions, and agitations, our habitual reactions grow until they become tiresome, painful, confusing, contradictory, difficult, and finally overwhelming. What is left? The third alternative is the power of our wakeful and attentive heart. We can face these forces, these difficulties, and include them in our meditation to further our spiritual life. The human heart has the extraordinary capacity to hold and transform the sorrows of life into a great stream of compassion. Whenever your own heart is open and uncovered, the awakening of this stream of compassion begins within. Compassion arises when you allow your heart to be touched by the pain and need of another. To cultivate this quality, you may wish to practice the traditional meditation for the practice of compassion and for the transformation of sorrows in the fire of the heart. Let yourself sit still in a centered and quiet way. Breathe softly and feel your body, your heartbeat, the life force within you. Feel how you treasure your own life, how you guard yourself in the face of your sorrows. After some time, bring to mind someone close to you whom you dearly love. Picture them and your caring for them. Notice how you can hold them in your heart. Then let yourself be aware of their sorrows. Feel how your heart opens naturally, moving toward them to wish them well, to extend comfort, to share in their pain, and meet it with compassion. This is the natural response of the heart. Along with this response, begin to actively wish them well, reciting the traditional phrases, "May you be free from pain and sorrow. may you be at peace, while holding them in your heart of compassion. Continue reciting these phrases as you picture them in this way for some time. As you learn to feel your deep caring for this person close to you, you can then extend this compassion to others you know, one at a time. Gradually, you can open your compassion further, to your neighbors, to all those who live far away, and finally, to the brotherhood and sisterhood of all beings. Let yourself feel how their beauty makes you weep. Feel your tender-hearted connection with all life and its creatures, how it moves with their sorrows and holds them in compassion. Now, let your heart become a transformer for the sorrows of the world. Feel your breath in the area of your heart, as if you could breathe gently in and out of your heart. Feel the kindness of your heart, and envision that with each breath you can breathe in pain and breathe out compassion. As you breathe, begin to envision your heart as a purifying fire that can receive the sorrows of the world and transform them into the light and warmth of compassion. This is a powerful meditation and will require some practice. Be gentle with yourself. Let the fire of your heart burn gently in your chest. Breathe in the sorrows of those who are hungry. Breathe in the sorrows of ignorance. With each out-breath, picture living beings everywhere and breathe out the healing balm of compassion. Like the mother of the world, bring the world into your heart, inviting all beings to touch you with each breath in, embracing all beings in compassion with each breath out. After some time, sit quietly and let your breath and heart rest naturally as a center of compassion in the midst of the world. We have words and rituals for many of our great outer events, birth and death, war and peace, marriage, adventure, illness. But often we are ignorant of the names of the inner forces that move us so powerfully through our hearts and lives. We've just talked about the general principles of turning difficulties into practice. Recognizing these forces and giving them a name is a specific and precise way to work with them and develop our understanding. We can begin to name and acknowledge many beautiful states that grace our lives: joy, well-being, peace, love, enthusiasm, kindness. This is a way to honor and nurture them. In the same way, naming the difficulties we encounter brings clarity and understanding and can unlock and free the valuable energy bound up in them. Every spiritual path has a language for the common difficulties we encounter. The Sufis call them the nafs. The Christian desert fathers, who practiced 2,000 years ago in the deserts of Egypt and Syria, called them demons. For Buddhist meditators, these forces are traditionally personified as Mara, the god of darkness. Begin naming the demons by sitting comfortably, focusing awareness on your breathing. As you feel each breath, carefully acknowledge it with a simple name: in-breath, out-breath, saying the word silently and softly in the back of your mind. Then, as you get quiet and as your skill grows, you can notice and name more precisely: long breath, short breath, tight breath, or relaxed breath. Let every kind of breath show itself to you. As you continue to deepen your meditation, you can also name the bodily energies and sensations that come up, such as tingling, itching, hot, or cold. You can name feelings, such as fear or delight. You can then extend the naming to sounds and sights, and to thoughts, such as planning or remembering. Stay focused on your breathing,